We bless your holy name and thank you for your mercy and grace. We ask that you would remove all distractions from us. Open our ears so that we would hear your words speaking to us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to show us what a life of obedience to you looks like, to teach us your words of eternal life, and to die on the cross for our sins and the sins of this world. We want to follow him and pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Some of you may remember time or times in your life with the following scenario. For me, it was teenage years. Parents are gone on a longer road trip, and we're just having such a great time with our friends. Until that moment when the thought hits us, Mom and Dad are going to be home tomorrow! And then panic comes, and we try and clean up the place and hope that we destroy all the evidence. Invariably, there's something we missed, and Mom or Dad asks the uncomfortable question, how did this get here? Ouch. Another scenario that I hope some of you will also be familiar with is waiting for someone special to come back home. I remember a time in my life when I had a steady job, not like now, and Riyadh was on tour, and this was before texting and all that kind of stuff, and I knew she was coming back, and I did my best to clean the apartment and to make something special for dinner and decorate the table a little nicer than usual and just really have a welcoming for her. There was joyful anticipation. Scripture is very, very clear on telling us that Jesus is coming back. It also tells us about some people that take it serious and some people that don't. And so I want to take a look with you at a passage in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 15, and that's on page 1455 in your pew Bibles. 1455. And of course, you're welcome to read that in the Bibles you've brought along as well. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. It's on page 1455. This is what the Apostle Peter writes to believers. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged, the great flood, and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. This is the word of the Lord. In verses 3 and 4, we read that some say, since Jesus hasn't come back yet as he promised, he probably never will. The result, and this is what I find very interesting, the result is that these people live lives according to their own desires. They say, since he's not coming back, we can live as we choose. It doesn't matter anyways. Peter, however, tells us that these people are wrong. God's timing is not our timing. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where the Lord tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above the earth, than our thoughts. His patience actually means giving us time to repent and turn to him. In verse 9, we read, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter also reminds us that when God says he will do something, he means it. The God who created the universe also said he will destroy it. We can count on this happening when Jesus returns. I think for most of us, it's clear that since we here in Vancouver live on the St. Andreas Fault, there will be a great earthquake coming. All scientists agree with this. But no scientist knows when. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells us about 5 smart bridesmaids. These 5 smart bridesmaids had extra supplies just in case the wedding wouldn't quite begin when they expected it to, and they were all welcomed. There were 5 other bridesmaids who didn't bother making extra preparations, and when the wedding didn't take place when they thought it would, they had to scramble and run for supplies and did not come on time for the celebration. None of them were allowed in. Peter reminds all believers that the second coming of Christ will be unexpected. It's not on our timeline. It's not something that we can do that famous 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and all the rest. No. This concept of the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night is something that Jesus tells us. It's something that Paul tells us. It's something that Peter tells us. It goes through the Old Testament 18 times, or 16, I'm sorry, we're told of the day of the Lord, this great day of the Lord. There's no question that this great day of the Lord is coming. And since I'm sure that we all agree on this, if you're not in agreement, I'll be happy to talk to you later about that. I think the real question is, now what? What do we do now? Until that time. And for me, Peter has five wonderful answers to that question in verses 14 and 15. In verse 14, Peter tells us that those who believe in Jesus are looking forward to this. The Greek word here, prostokontes, means to wait for someone's return with joyful anticipation. Of course, translators aren't going to write every word with that kind of a half sentence, because the Bible would be about five times as thick as it is now. But those are the kind of things pressed into some of these Hebrew and Greek words. They're so rich in meaning. Let me repeat that. Those who believe in Jesus wait for his return with joyful anticipation. It's the kind of active waiting that I did when Riyadh was on tour. Just cleaning and making nice things and a little surprise here. And, you know, that kind of joyful anticipation. It's not a boring countdown. If the thought of Jesus' second coming is not something that we are looking forward to, I think the first place we need to begin is to ask ourselves how much we love Jesus. Of course, if we love the things of this world more than we love Jesus, we're going to say, oh, wait a little bit, I've got so many exciting things left to do. But if our love for Jesus is way higher, then everything that's going to disappear, we're not going to take none of our money along, none of our houses, nothing. Hey, that's something special. That's something to look forward to. The next thing that Peter tells us is actually a group of three things. We read that he wants us to exert ourselves. And this is in the imperative. Spoudasate is exert yourself. There's work to be done, so let's do it. What do we need to exert ourselves for? We need to exert ourselves to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. So let's take a look at each of these individually. To be found spotless has something to do with us. Each one individually is responsible for their personal state of spotlessness or stainfulness. The Greek word spilos means stain, blemish, spot, or defect, and in our text it's aspilos, which means having no stain, no blemish, no spot, or defect. Scripture tells us that those who believe in Jesus Christ are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to keep our thoughts pure. We need to be careful not to contaminate ourselves and think, oh, that's okay. We are called to be holy as God is holy. And Peter puts this in the context of waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. One thing that we need to exert ourselves in doing as we wait for the return of Jesus is to take care of ourselves in terms of our morals, in terms of what we are, to make sure that we are spotless when he comes. The second thing he tells us is that we need to be found blameless. And blameless in the Greek context has to do with our relationship with other people. The Greek word momaomai means to find fault with someone by implying blame. So in other words, the apostle is saying, if what we have done in our relationships with someone else puts blame on us, then we've got a problem here. Then we're not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've come to embrace a short verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 16, where Paul is standing on his defense in court. And he says, I continually strive to have a pure conscience between God and others. If we strive for this clean conscience in all our relationships, we will be spotless and these relationships will be blameless. Of course, others may not think that. Others may want to falsely accuse us. But that doesn't make us blameful. That makes them blameful. We are blameless if we do our part in making sure that relationships are all kept as they should be. The third thing that the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to exert ourselves in is at being at peace with God. And this, of course, we know comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's surprising, though, that Peter would say we need to exert ourselves in order for this to happen. How can we exert ourselves to be at peace with God? I think that comes together with another concept that we have in Scripture, where the Bible tells us to fear no one except God. When we have a healthy respect, a healthy fear of God, a healthy fear of doing something against His will, then we will be having this kind of a peace that we work for, that we work at. It's not something that comes automatically. In Philippians 4, we know that we can pray for this peace. When we give all our anxieties to the Lord, He fills us with His peace. Yes, He wants to fill us with His peace. But if we don't ask for it, it's not to be taken for granted. And so Peter tells us, exert yourselves. Work at it. Work at being spotless. Work at your relationships with others to be blameless. And work at your relationship with the Father so that you will be at peace with Him. The last and biggest point is in verse 15. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. And this is something that has become more and more and more important to me in these past few years. It's so nice to be here together with all of us. It's so nice to know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. It's so nice to know that as I surrender my life to Him and ask Jesus into my heart and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. My name is written in the book of heaven. This is good news. Jesus tells us this is better news even than having the demons submit to us. But friends, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Salvation doesn't stop with us, it needs to go on to the others. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Going into all the world can mean going to our next door neighbor. It can mean talking to a person on the bus. It can mean seeing someone alone on a park bench and asking if we can pray for them. It can mean being sensitive to the needs of others around us here in church. Friends, we can't assume that everyone's going to heaven. We need to make it a priority to share the good news. This was Jesus' priority. This was the apostles' priority. This was every Christian's priority in the first church. And it shouldn't stop. It can't stop. This is the whole reason why the Father has not sent Jesus to return, because he wants more people to come to salvation. Friends, it's so encouraging to see what is happening in the world. We have a number of missionaries that we're supporting. If you read some of the letters that they write, it's so encouraging to see what God is doing in many parts of the world. I'm also encouraged that a number of people are interested in supporting Tancho by actually going there and helping and being there in person. This is something that we need to discover and embrace. There's nothing more lonely than for a missionary to go out knowing he or she is called by God, faithfully serving, but hearing nothing from back home, not getting email updates from back home, not getting phone calls from back home, not seeing people from back home. We're always writing those letters. We don't really even have time to write the reports. And there's so much more that we would want to squeeze into that mission report. But is there anything coming back? It gets very lonely. Bless you for doing this. Bless you. And please, parents, if you're considering sending your kids, or if you as parents want to go, I encourage you, please, please, please. This is an important work of God. Yes, there's always that argument, well, if we send our money, it's going to go a lot further than buying a plane ticket. Friends, your being there in person cannot be replaced by any amount of dollars and cents. I know this personally from speaking to missionaries. But there's more than that. We don't need to go to the Philippines, go to the Far East, go to the Middle East, go to other places in the world. Mission is right here. Do we realize how many unsaved people there are in Vancouver? Have you counted in your neighborhood how many believers there are and realized that all the rest are non-believers? Friends, this is what the message is all about. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, that will be the end. And so there's urgency involved. Friends, there's signs that Jesus is coming soon. And we need to live each day in that awareness. It's a joyful awareness that needs to encourage us to action. It needs to encourage us to share the good news. It needs to encourage us to share the gospel. It needs to encourage us to encourage other Christians in their walk with Christ. It's not a time of doing what we've always done and more of the same. It's a time of asking ourselves, what's going on inside? Father, is there some kind of a spot or blemish that I need to address, that you want me to address? Because I want to take your word serious. I want to do what you say. I want to be ready. Father, is there a relationship that I need to do something about, that I need to fix up? Is there some phone call that I need to make that I've been avoiding to make? Is there someone that I need to ask forgiveness for? I want to make sure that all my relationships, as far as I am able to, are clean, so that I will be considered unblemished by God Almighty when He comes. And Father, I want to be at peace with You. I know that when You fill me with Your peace, there's nothing in the world that can shake me up. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when we have that, there's nothing on earth we need to fear. Matthew 10 verse 28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." This fear of Almighty God and fear of not doing what He wants us to do, that needs to drive us. Not to a fearful place, but to a good place. A healthy place of knowing that we are at peace with Him. We are at peace with others. And that His peace fills us. That we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. That we are cleansed, that we are purified. But that also means that our lifestyle is one of purity. It means that we don't go places that are toxic and that we know we should avoid. It means that we do go places that God sends us to, but we don't go there without our spiritual armor. We don't go there without prayerful attention to what's going on and without God's protection. Yes, He does send us into dark places and dangerous places. But just like Moses said, "Lord, don't send us if Your presence is not going with us." We will go everywhere that You send us, but not without Your presence. We need Your presence, Lord. We need Your Holy Spirit. We need to be covered by the blood of the Lamb to protect us. But we do want to go and share the good news, because they too need to hear. They need salvation, and this is God's will. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's a call on us. That's a call on us to be active, not sitting around being passive. Yes, waiting on the Lord so that we will be going when He wants us to, and not just running ahead on our own, but being active as we wait, praying that He would give us that desire, give us that joy, and say, "Friends, I found something that is so fantastic that I would never want to live without. And I know that You need this peace. I can see that You are filled with fear. I can see that You're full of anxiety. I can see that You're stressed out. Do we need any of this when Jesus lives inside? No. Do we want to give it to others? I hope so. Is Jesus' second coming good news? Amen, it is. Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Make us those people that are ready when You come. Make us joyful. Make us spotless. Make us blameless. And allow us to be at peace with the Father. And use us, Father, to share Your good news with the many, many, many people that so desperately need it. Father in heaven, You know all things, and you know where our hearts are. You know if there's things in our life that drag us down where we're not ready for you to come. Where there are things that we're hanging on to that we need to let go of. Where there are things that rob our joy and get us depressed and anxious. Father, we know that you want to liberate us from all those things dragging us down. You want to clean us up. You want to remove all those spots and stains. You want us pure and holy and perfect as you are pure, holy, and perfect, and as you call us to be pure, holy, and perfect. And we ask that you would do this by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash us with hyssop so that we would be whiter than snow. And Father, we ask that you would reveal to us those relationships that aren't the way you want them to be. Impress those names on our hearts and give us the courage to go out and do what we need to do. Make that phone call, arrange for a time of tea and or coffee so that we can be at peace with others. So that we can make that step and ask for forgiveness. So that you would be the one making us blameless and ready for your coming. And Father, we ask your forgiveness where we have not shared your word. Where we have had opportunities to spread the good news, but we've kept silent or we've talked about the weather or about other things. As the first church prayed, give us boldness. We need your boldness. We can't do this on our own. You know that. And so we ask that you would fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and give us that joyful boldness that can't wait to share what you have done in our lives. That has a burden to pray for those people you've placed in our lives that are not saved yet. And has open eyes to see people as you see them. People in need of salvation. Let us be those disciples that go out and make disciples to your glory. We pray these things in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking forward to his return. Amen.